It's interesting, as I've gone through life, and I'm sure this is true for all of you as well, what you discover is that people enjoy talking about things that they're passionate about, right? Like, isn't that true? If we're passionate about something, if we have a subject that we're passionate about, if we have a hobby that we're passionate about, that's what we love to talk about. And we can talk for a long time about that subject that we're passionate about. Just this morning, on my way up to where I'm sitting this morning, I got into a conversation with somebody about the Hershey Bears and their big victory on Monday night, and we talked a little bit about that. And it, you guys all know that my wife and I kind of do some beekeeping stuff. And man, you ask a beekeeper a question about bees, and like bring a chair because you're going to be sitting down for a half hour conversation as they unload everything that they know about you. It's just how we function as people. When we're passionate about something, when there's something we enjoy, we choose to share about that thing. I want you to think this morning, as we're just getting started and diving into God's Word, I want you to think of somebody that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus that you know. So just take a moment and think. It might be a family member. It might be a friend. It might be a coworker. It might be a next door neighbor that you don't really know that well, but you know well enough to know that about them. Take a second and think. Try to picture their face in your mind, right? Like really think about this. Because this is important. Right? Take their name and like note that name in your mind. Write it down on your piece of paper if you're taking notes. Because over the last 5 weeks now, we're halfway through our core values. We've been working through our core values, and we've talked about all kinds of things. This morning, one of the things that we're talking about, the thing that we're talking about, is critical to us as believers. It's called this word, and nobody likes this word. It's called evangelism, right? And we've put it down as the word evangelism in our core values. And I know that word scares many people to death, but it's a very simple word to use to explain what it is that we think is important to us, which is actually sharing Jesus and the hope of Jesus with people that don't know Jesus. So that's what we're going to focus our time on this morning, is the need for us as believers, and hopefully us as people of Fairland Congregation, we say it's one of our core values, that we are intentional about sharing Jesus with other people. I would suggest that perhaps the most effective way that we can share our faith with others, and this makes it a whole lot less scary, really, right? Perhaps the most effective way that we can share our faith with others is by living in meaningful relationship with those who don't know Christ. Living in meaningful relationship. Meaningful is a key word there. In meaningful relationship with those who don't know Christ. Now, whenever I talk about sharing our faith, I always like to just gently tell people, like, if your excuse for not sharing your faith with people is, I don't know people who don't know Jesus, then you need to expand your friend group. Like we're called to do that. So we'll just take that off the table to start with. If that's where you are today, my challenge for you is expand your friend group outside of where it is today. So it includes people that don't know Christ. I think as we get into meaningful relationships with people that don't know Christ, as we do this, we share Christ through our words at times, absolutely. The hope that we have in Jesus, the difference that Jesus has made in our lives, how we've seen him work in our lives. But we also do this through our actions as well. And for a period of time in the evangelical Christian church, the piece of actions, like our actions mean more than our words or just as much, like that is true. The action piece, the way we live our life is a great testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. But I think we kind of swung the pendulum too far maybe as a church, not Church Fairland, Church Hole. We swung the pendulum a little bit too far, I think, to the point where we became comfortable leaving out the words sometimes. Because that's the hard part. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it's a familiar passage to most people here this morning. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said," and this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth was given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." That's our marching orders. Like, that is Jesus telling us to share our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we read these words regarding sharing our faith. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Right? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. I think a good starting spot for us this morning is for everyone of us to understand that we are all called to share Christ. Everyone in here. We're all on equal ground this morning in regards to this. It's a biblical fact. We don't like the word, but it's a mandate or it's a commission on our lives from God. And if it's a commission on our lives from God, then why? Why do we hesitate to do it? Why do we choose not to do it? And I think there's all kinds of reasons why we choose not to. I think it's simplest for us just to say we're not cut out for it, right? Like, that's not my personality, or that's not my spiritual gift. We talked about spiritual gifts a few weeks ago, right? And you say, well, that's not my spiritual gift. That's somebody else's spiritual gift. And there's a difference, I do believe, in somebody has a spiritual gifting of evangelism versus all of us who are called to still share our faith. Or, like, we don't feel like we want to memorize some long and complicated system of presenting the gospel to people. Or we don't think that we have all the answers to the questions, so we just don't want to get into the conversation. Or we don't want to offend somebody because they might believe something differently. And they might believe something differently. And after you have conversation with them, after you live in a meaningful relationship with them, they still might have a different understanding of things than you do. But I think for the most part, I think the reason that as believers today, sometimes we don't share the hope that we have in our lives is that we're simply just afraid to. Because we feel so uncomfortable doing it. Listen, fear can prevent us from doing what God has called us to do. This morning, we're going to look at a few verses Paul wrote. And we're going to see what it means to be what I would consider a great witness for Christ. And how we can kind of imitate some of what Paul has done in sharing the hope that he knows. And hopefully in doing so, we can become more like Jesus and in tune and in line with Jesus' wishes for our lives. So I'd have you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 is where we're going to start at. And it's page 811 if you're using the chair Bible. Page 811. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 19. Now you need to understand, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so it's going to read just a little differently than what the church Bibles are. But if you're using your phone, you can always just click over to New Living Translation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 19, Paul writes this. He says, Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. Man, look at that heart, right? Like right off the bat. I'm a free man, but I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I live under the law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who were under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. What a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture in regards to sharing our faith. We can see that Paul had this like tremendous freedom to serve Christ, and that he believed that that freedom enabled him to win others to Christ, to win some to Christ, is how he phrased it. He said, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to have some saved. So this morning we're going to take a few minutes and hopefully learn from what we see Paul doing in these verses. First thing that I think we see Paul doing is he's very simple in his approach. Like, there's, simple is good, is number one. Simple is good. Paul is simple in his approach. We see this really in verses 22 and 23. It says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Paul understood the difference between important and complicated. He understood that the importance of sharing Christ was something that he had to hold dear, but that it never had to be complicated. His desire was to find some sort of common ground with those people God had placed in his life and share Christ with them by way of that common ground. Right? It's kind of like how I was talking at the beginning about when we are passionate about something as individuals, we love to do what? We love to talk about that with other people. And as we talk about that with other people, we often find there's common ground there. And then what happens? That conversation, it grows as a result of that. That's why it's so important for us to find this common ground, as Paul is talking about. Sharing our hope is not something that has to be complicated or scary. I really do like working off that premise that simpler is better or less is more strategy kind of thing, right? So perhaps in order to share our faith effectively, we just need to learn to keep it simple. I love this legend, and for full authenticity, it's not 100% accurate, and we'll get to that later, okay? But I love this legend because it's a great example of sometimes simple is better. So the legend has it that when NASA first began to send astronauts into space, that they quickly learned, and this part is all true, they quickly learned that ballpoint pens sent up with astronauts don't work in zero gravity. That makes kind of sense, right? Ballpoint pens run off of gravity. Like the gravity is what... So that kind of makes sense. Then the legend goes on to say that NASA attacked this program and spent over 10 years and millions of dollars so that they could develop a pen that would write in zero gravity, upside down, underwater, and on most surfaces, including glass, and to temperatures ranging from below freezing to 300 degrees Celsius. They finally had their space pen. But you know what? The Russians used a pencil. Sometimes simple's better. So the part of that that's not true is NASA didn't spend all the money and time researching it. An actual private company spent all the time and money researching it. And then they sold it to NASA and to the Russians for under $3 a pen. Okay? So they didn't make a ton of money off these pens. But the idea, looking at the legend, the point of the story is that simplicity works. And sometimes we just overcomplicate things. We don't need the space pen, we need a pencil. We've all heard the acronym KISS, right? Like, keep it simple, stupid. Sometimes we just got to remind ourselves of that. It means that when we are attacking a problem, like, we need to seek out the most simple and direct approach. And it's usually going to be the best approach and most efficient solution. And we just keep it simple. Paul understood this concept. He wasn't going to go into to a synagogue, he wasn't going to go into a synagogue and convince the Jewish men to surrender to Christ by convincing them that the Gentiles and their customs were right. He wasn't going to go into a Gentile home and convert them to obedience of the Jewish laws and festivals. But what Paul understood was simplicity. To the Jew, Paul was Jew of the Jews. This never took the focus off of Christ or the message of the gospel. But what it did was disarm the Jews, the Gentiles, so that Paul could share about Jesus with them. Simple is good. Simple is meeting people that God has placed in your path, in your reality, in your life, not in judgment, but out of love for Christ and a desire to see them saved. Just meeting them where they're at in life. Simple is a great action of evangelism, of sharing our faith, of sharing the hope of Jesus. It doesn't stop there. We also see Paul be very consistent in his approach. Number two is be consistent. Paul not only knew to keep things simple, but simplicity was the fact that he could continue in his mission. He never gave up on it. He was always going to move forward with it, even though it was simple at heart. He wasn't going to stop mid-step. Paul understood what it meant to stay on task for Jesus. He said in the passage that we read in verse 19, he said, "Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ, to bring some to Christ, so that some may be saved." Paul wasn't going to allow anybody to pass his way without sharing Christ. He was as persistent in sharing Christ as a slave would have been to his master's orders. Right? "Even though I am a free man with no master, I become slave to all people." He was going to keep on serving others and sharing Christ with others because this was the will of the one that he served. So often, we allow ourselves to get sidetracked from serving as God has called us. We get sidetracked by the things of this life and we don't share Christ with the people that are in our lives. We set it aside. We say we'll do that another day. And then another day comes, and we set it aside again. I know that there's many of us here today who are really faithful in your service with God. And when God places you in the life of somebody else, you have been so faithful to share Jesus as he's called you to do. I also know that there are others that struggle to share Jesus that are with us this morning. This is something that needs to become natural to all of us as believers. It just needs to become something that we instinctively do as Christ followers. And that will only happen if we make it a habit, an intentional habit in our lives, meaning that if this is something that you are not consistently doing today, but to be obedient to Jesus, you're going to start, you're going to have to be intentional about doing it till it becomes a habit or just nature to you. Initially, you're going to have to be really intentional about it. When we have something that we want to accomplish in our lives, and it feels incredibly difficult, maybe it even feels impossible to us to be able to accomplish what we want to, most people will set achievable goals, steps, to get to that point. For some here today, you may need to set some goals to share your faith so that it can begin to become a habit and a way of living for you. And the reason that this matters so much is because eternity is on the line. Like, let's not forget that. Every one of us will be in the presence of God or experience the absence of God in eternity. Every one of us will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. When it comes to sharing Jesus with others, we can see that Paul just kept it simple, and he just consistently kept doing it as he lived his life. The third and final thing I want to point out is we need to be personal as we do it. I think the personal approach is the best approach to sharing our faith. I certainly believe that it's probably the most effective way of sharing Jesus with others is through sharing our own personal stories, walking with people in the triumphs and the trials of our journeys. And I won't discount any way that people feel led to share Jesus with others. I've seen and heard of believers going, you know, into neighborhoods and just cold knocking on doors and pleading the gospel to total strangers and leading people to Christ. I've seen and heard of people, you know, entering into crowded malls or whatever it might be and finding shoppers that are taking a rest at a chair and sharing Christ and leading them to Christ. I think that those people that are able to kind of do more of that cold call, I don't know what we call that, like where there's not a relationship there, I think that those people might be kind of the people that are maybe spiritually gifted with evangelism. Like they just have this method of doing it. Their mind just works in this way that they're able to go to a complete stranger and share their faith. And sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in a way that they can like walk that person into a relationship with Jesus. The first pastor that was at the church that I attended in Ohio, his name is Pastor Sam Hollingsworth. He had that gift. it was annoying as all could be sometimes, because you'd be going out for lunch with him at a restaurant and he sees some person sitting there by themselves, and all of a sudden you're sitting there by yourself because he's over at their table talking to him about Jesus of all things, right? But like he seriously had that gift. Like he could do that and do it well. This cold, the cold call thing, I think it can certainly work, and I hope you're hearing me on that, because I don't put limitations on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit's going to work. But in viewing Scripture and seeing what I've seen in my life over the years and in many lives of other believers, I really do feel like that personal touch on things can be so helpful to sharing our faith with other people. I believe that often one of the most effective ways to share Jesus with somebody is kind of that one-on-one, person-to-person kind of contact. And here's the tricky part, or the frustrating part for us sometimes, I think, is that it doesn't all happen at once. Like, it can take months, years, decades. It can happen the first time you speak to somebody, but usually there's kind of a process the person goes through before they come into a relationship with Jesus, of exploring this idea, of talking through this idea. And I think that as they're going through that process, that's where our personal message and touch in their lives means so much. Christianity and salvation are not intuitive things. Like people who don't know Jesus don't typically sit somewhere under a tree, out, you know, under the blue sky one day and say, you know what, I need to figure out what needs to happen for me to know Jesus Christ as Savior right now. The gospel message is not one that somebody learns just from osmosis usually. It's a message that has to be shared. And that's why we as believers in Jesus Christ are commissioned to do that, are instructed to do that. The message about the love of God is a message that we are called to share. But not just share in passing, but by getting involved in the lives of others. There's an old proverb that says, they don't care how much you know until they care how much you, until they know how much you care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That relationship, it's so important. Don't downplay it. Do you want to share Christ with somebody? Do you want to be obedient to this calling in our lives? Now, who did you picture at the beginning of the service? Whose face did you bring into your mind? Whose name did you write down on your paper? If you want to see them come to Christ, get involved with them. Meet them where they are, on their level. Learn to share Christ in their environment. Paul is what I would say an expert in this. And our passage this morning shows that he was willing to meet everyone anywhere at any time to share Jesus. He would meet them. He did not call them to come to him to meet them where he was. When we share hope to a person, it's so important to build a good foundation of a relationship before and during. Like, get to know them, become their friend. And here's an important piece to this idea of making it personal. Don't make them your project. People read through that. Get into a relationship with somebody that doesn't know Jesus because you love that person, because you care about that person, because you see good things in that person, because you enjoy being with that person, because, like, all those things. Like, make it an authentic relationship with the person. Don't make them your project. And while developing the friendship, I can almost guarantee you that you will have great opportunities to point them to the cross through your life and through your actions and through your words. Pray for them often. Pray for the Holy Spirit to open their hearts and minds to hearing the gospel of God, the good news of God. Pray that God will open your eyes and give you boldness to step into the opportunities that He gives you. It's not about how many Bible verses you know. It's not how well you know any particular system of sharing the gospel. What brings people to Christ is other people. God chose to do it that way. So you don't like it, take it up with Him. We say Jesus is the hope of the world, and that is truth. He is the hope of the world. Without Jesus, all hope in the world is lost. However, for the non-believer, for somebody that doesn't know Jesus, the statement Jesus is the hope of the world, like, that doesn't make any sense to them. Rightfully so. And this is because it's just a concept. The truth of the matter is simply this. Those in the church are the hope of the world. Like, you as followers of Jesus Christ are the hope of the world because Jesus chose to use you to bring other people into relationship with Him. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are who carries His love into this world. The world will only experience the love of God through other believers. Telling people that Jesus loves them, it's a concept in their minds, but showing people that Jesus loves them through our actions in their lives, that takes the love of Jesus from the conceptual to the personal. As believers, we have to make sharing the hope that we know, sharing Jesus, a personal mission in our lives. I know this morning, those of you who profess Jesus have, like, you've now heard very clearly about this calling from Jesus. You've also seen how Paul made sharing his faith a critical part of his life, and we can learn from his example. And if you're here this morning and this is an area where you have failed Jesus in being obedient to Him, like, I would just encourage you to take a moment and confess that to God. Just do that privately, personally, where you're sitting right now. And make it right with Him. Acknowledge it. And say, you know what, God, I'm going to do better at this. I'm going to change. Like, remember some of Jesus' final words, right? All authority in heaven and earth was given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go and share your faith. choosing to say no to something God has told us to do. We know what we call that, right? We call that sinful. If you've been saying no, or just not saying yes, confess it and move forward today. I want to leave us all with this challenge this morning. Will you commit to intentionally praying for a non-believing friend or family member, or coworker, or whatever that person might be in your life? And then looking actively for ways to be part of that person's life in a meaningful way. So that usually means we've got to put ourselves out a little bit, right? Like, it means we've got to invest time into it. And sometimes resources, energy, all that stuff. We've got to invest in that thing called a relationship. Will you commit to intentionally praying for that person? Looking for ways to be a part of that person's life because you care about the person and you want what's best for the person? And then will you be obedient to God when He opens doors for you to share your faith with that person? He will open the doors. Will you obediently step through it? Lord God, we thank You for this day. We are thankful that You have chosen to use us as conduits of the good news of Jesus Christ, of the hope that we can have through a relationship with Jesus, how we can experience the forgiveness of sin and being a new creation in Christ. Father God, allow us to be bold in our obedience to You. Allow us, through both our words and our actions, to be a witness of Your goodness, of Your love, Your care. Father God, help us not to be people that are timid in sharing our faith. For the people that have a name in their minds, they can see the individual's face. Lord God, I pray for those people this morning. I pray that You will already begin to work in their hearts. I pray, God, that You will create opportunities for conversations to take place that would give opportunity to lead towards sharing our faith with them, sharing our story with them. And let that include You, Lord God. Pray this in Your name. Amen.